Gospel of John, chapter 15.
Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. We'll look at verse 10 and 11 this evening. I'm talking to you this evening about abiding in His pleasures. In John, chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be It says, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, this evening, Father, I ask you now to, Lord, I bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray you hide me behind the cross. And Father, now just help me to proclaim your truth, Lord God, and challenge the hearts. And help us, Lord, to settle our minds and be focused on your word. And Lord, the joy and troubles and tribulation, we all go through troubles, Lord God. But help us to be able to look at this and be able to take your word and apply it and really, Lord, find joy in our life. Lord, without you, we're nothing. And Lord, you are greatly to be praised, and we sing songs to you, and we honor you with our songs. And Father, we come here now to hear your word and now to hear it, but then apply it in our lives, Father, and then grow closer to you, Lord. Now, Father, meet with us. And then we leave here tonight, Father, and we can say that we have met with you, Lord. You've met with us, and we can go and praise you and say there is a change in our life. But Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Now, Father, we ask you to do it in your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about abiding in His pleasure. In John chapter 15, it's getting to the end where Christ was coming to the end. He done have the Passover as he's walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then you could see it's a Passover time. Maybe it was a full moon. I don't know. But just a few hours ago, he was talking to them and tell them that he's going to prepare a place for them. He told them the Holy Spirit was going to come and give them comfort. He also mentioned that they would have to abide in Him, and then they would be purged by the Father, and He would love them if they would keep His commandments. And you look at this and you think of, He's throwing a lot of heavy stuff on the new Christians. You can almost sense a burden, responsibility they have upon them, and they're listening to Him, and He's talking to them, and it's just amazing that, you know, they've been with Him for 3 years, and they still haven't grasped the whole contents of Christ, and they're still getting it. It's just like I grow, and I don't have it all. I read the whole book, and I still get into it, and there's so much I just don't grasp. And you look at chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, you see that the word abide, or the Greek text of it, is mentioned 11 times. You see it 9 times, the word abide in English, but in verse 9 it says, "Continue in my love," and verse 11 says, "Remain." It says, "That my joy might remain in you." Those words, "continue," "remain," is still the same Greek word dealing with abiding. He's talking to them that they need to abide in Him. He's trying to teach them to abide in His pleasures. In verse 11, he does indicate everything he has said to them was for their joy. Because he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The Christians who remains with Christ will abide in His pleasures. They will have enjoyed their Christianity. It won't be a duty, but it will be a delight. It's not, if it's a duty to read your Bible, you're missing it. If it's a duty to go to church or a duty to pray or go sowing, you're missing it. It should be a delight. Now, there's circumstances in our life. It doesn't make us feel happy. We go through struggles. But it should be a joy in our life, but it's got to be in Him. In verse 10 and 11, it shows us the condition for this joy. Verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my joy, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." First part 11a, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you." He's talking to us, or talking to disciples, the same principles. For the condition for joy, you must hear the Word of God. I mean, He speaks to us, but listen, His Word, He speaks, it produces this joy in our life. Spurgeon says this, "His object is not only that we should know the truth, but that we would have joy in the truth." You know, we say that we shall know truth. Yeah, but John 8:32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the thing is, you know the truth, but if you don't get into the Word of God and start applying your life, you just don't get the joy. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. No doubt Jesus Christ is talking to us, but the question is anybody listening? He can tell you by you reading the Word of God, but are you really listening? He that hath ear to hear, let him hear, he says. And then I think about who is really listening. Are we listening to him, or are we listening to the world? The world is speaking and is robbing our joy and our spirituality, our pleasures. People rob our joy. The circumstances in our life robs our joy. But our joy is not dependent on people, and it's not dependent on the circumstances of my life. I remember my father, I talked to him on April the 27th. I can't remember what year it was. I was busy, and I was cutting grass. And listen, I was just busy. I just didn't have time. I love my father. But he said, "Hey, son, what's going on? Happy birthday." And I said, "I appreciate it, Dad. Let me call you back later." Now, listen, I had no intentions not to call my father back. I had no intention not to talk to him. I wanted to talk to my father. But it was so busy, I allowed circumstances in my life to stop the communication with my father, because that was the last time I heard my father's voice. I mean, listen to what I'm saying. It burned me, and the circumstances of my life affected me when I found out he was dying. But circumstances and people cannot take my joy. The circumstance may hurt my happiness around my life, but my joy is in the Word of God. My joy is in Christ. Now, there's a man went to the doctor, and he went to him. He gets a call the next day, and the doctor calls him up and says, "Look, I have bad news and worse news. Bad news is that you have 24 hours to live." He said, "What's the worst news in that?" He said, "I was supposed to call you yesterday." Circumstances, folks, does dictate some things in our life. But listen, our joy is not based on that. Thank God that we have the Word of God, that good news, and we have better news in the Word of God. Listen, our joy is conditioned by hearing the Word of God. He goes again, he says, "Hey, keep my commandments." Listen, our joy is in the Word of God. Our joy is based on it, but listen, our joy must respond to God's Word. And it goes, it says, "If you keep my commandments." It depends on how we respond to the Word of God. Nine times the Bible says in a book, "Rejoice in the Lord." The question is, will you rejoice? When I looked at my dad on the deathbed, I had a choice of all my own miseries or knowing that my father's in glory and I won't be my last time talking to my father. There's a difference. I remember when he was in the casket, I know that today I see you today, but tomorrow morning I'll see you in the morning when I see him in glory. Habakkuk 3:17 says, "Although the fig tree shall blossom," "although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herb in the stalls." Now he knows that, Habakkuk said, "I know the judgment of God is on this country, and it's coming upon us." But listen what he says after that. He says he's able to say, verse 18, "Yea, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation." Circumstances has no control on our joy. It does on the world. But your joy is in the Word of God. It's based on the Word of God. You could hear it, my folks, but you got to receive the Word of God, and you have to apply it. You have to respond to the Word of God. Something you need to decide today is that, you know, the Word of God, I'm going to rejoice no matter the outcome. No matter what trials and tribulation I'm in, I'm going to rejoice in Him. No matter despite the promises. And listen, He didn't promise us peace and prosperity. He didn't promise that we're going to have a big church and we have 1,000 people, we're going to have all these ministries. Listen, this country is getting away from God more and more. What do they put a padlock and say, "You cannot worship"? Are you going to still worship? Are you going to still rejoice? Amen. Listen, we can say yes, but the basic responsibility of taking the Word of God and not applying to by reading my Bible and praying. You see, I keep going back to the basics, because the basics, if you don't do the basics, you can't do the big things. I can't say I'm going to die for Christ. They can put me on stakes, but I don't have time to read. I don't pray. I get upset from circumstances in my life that stops me. Listen, they're about to go through a trial. Peter's about to go through a trial they're going to scatter. They're going to kill the Messiah. He said, hey, your joy is in the Word. But how you respond on that condition is up to you. It's a condition. I can rejoice, or I can just take the world and say, forget God, and take the pressure of the world in my life and to see the despair of it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose. We like that verse, don't we? But it says all things work together for good. I mean, Roger Cox going through lung cancer. All things work together for good in God's purpose and plans. I'm trying to find a place. Everything works good for His plans. I mean, God is in control. My joy is not based on my circumstance. My joy is based on the Word of God. I have a choice. The book of Philippians, it says rejoice 10 times. It's how we respond to it or not. But our happiness is a choice. I can respond to it or don't. I can depend on Him or I don't. Stop depending on the circumstances and peoples and really start rejoicing in the Lord. I mean, listen, folks, we're going to go through trials and tribulation. Things are tough. In Florida, these mamas and daddies lost their boys and girls. Listen, if they don't have Christ, how can they rejoice in the Lord? But we got Almighty God. Listen, when I came here, we wanted to lock doors. But listen, my fear is not the door. I got a great God. I'm telling you, we got to start rejoicing God. God is in control. If we put Him first, I'm telling you, our joy, listen, doesn't matter what takes place. It's going to be tough. Today's a good day, but tomorrow may be tough. But my choice of rejoicing, my joy is in Him. Nothing those things. I love my girls. I love my wife. But who says they're guaranteed to be with me for tomorrow? My joy is in Him. I'm only 45. If He gives me 75, then I'm halfway. Listen, I'll see Him in the morning. It's easy to say it behind the pulpit. It's easy to say it today. I'm on this side of the casket with Him. But it's tough. But listen, He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in His love. It's a promise. It's a promise. Listen, their conditions for joy is a condition for joy, though. It's dependence on us and how we hear the Word of God and how we respond to the Word of God. But listen, the second thing is consistency of joy. 11b, it says this, and it says that my joy might remain in you. Our joy remains focused on His Word of God. If we focus on His Word, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. If I focus on Him, and this is the mind of Christ, and I focus on Him, I can have peace. I can have a joy in my life. But James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means I got one foot in the world and circumstances and one foot on God. Listen, I'm unstable. Ain't we? We kind of, yes, I love God on Sunday, but I wake up Monday morning, it's a different world. Why is it a different world? It's the same God, it's a different day, but He woke up with full of mercies. I renew every day. But listen, I have to wake up every morning and get refreshed in the Word of God and get my love in His Word. There's my consistency. His supply is His constant and long remaining. Isaiah 26, verse 3, I love this verse. Thou shalt keep them, he says, thou shalt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trusted in thee. I notice that when my mind is focused on Christ and not on the circumstances, I have peace. I have that joy because my mind, I'm stayed on Him, the Word of God. I'm abiding in the Word of God. I'm focused, I'm obtaining it, and I'm not just hearing it, and I'm responding to the Word of God. That's where there's consistency, that my joy might remain in you. He delights in giving us joy. He wants us to have this joy. He didn't leave us and says, I hope you figure it out. He's a great God, and He's a God, a loving God, but He wants us to have His joy. Think about it. He knows the trials. They beat Him. They spit upon Him. Even His brothers, half-brothers, didn't accept Him. He was alone. He got along with the Word of God. He got up in prayer time with God Almighty to show that he needs him just like we need him. It's a time to get wrong, but we got to respond. But it's a consistency. Men pursue joy in every avenue or different avenues in life. Some have successfully found it, others have not. Look at some ways that people have not, cannot attain it. 99 belief. Voltaire, I don't know if you heard of Voltaire. He was a rich man. He was a smart man, very intelligent. He studied for 40 years and he felt kind of wasted. He made a statement. He says, I was born in time, I leave in time, yet I do not know what time it is. That's amazing. Very intellectual man. But he still didn't get it because he didn't have the Word of God. He died in his words in his poem. He says, I wish I had never been born. About 90 pleasure, Lord Byron, he lived in a life of pleasure like anyone. He wrote, he was a poet. He said this, the worm and canker and grief are mine alone. Not a money. Jay Gow was a very rich, a millionaire at that time. He was dealing with railroads. He says, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth. Money don't get it. Pleasures don't get it. Unbelief don't get it. How about position and fame? Lord Baconfield, he enjoyed more than sharing his money he had. He said, youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. Old age is a regret. Alexander the Great, a great military man of glory. He said, having at the end of his days, he says, I conquered the known world. And he says, having done all, he wept in his tent and says, there are no more worlds to conquer. There's no joy because they didn't have Christ. That's the real joy. My joy that remain in you. There's a real joy, and that's simply in Christ alone. So when I get around the grave, if I want joy in my life, if I'm going to go through struggles, I don't have to go through struggles alone. But I got to take the Word of God. I got to abide in the Word of God. And it's just simple ABCs. But I mean, we say, oh, kids, read your Bible. Read your Bible. You'll grow and grow and grow. But if I really do read the Bible and I take the Word of God and I start abiding and seeing the condition and say, look, I'll take it and I'll start applying it in my life and it's consistency, he will remain. That joy that he's offering remains in me. It abides in me every day. Does it matter what circumstances? It's a good God. But we struggle. We don't have joy, don't we? Maybe you do. Maybe I y'all stare at me like a new calf looking at a gate. Listen, I'm telling you, I struggle in my life at times. I worry about this, and how this is going to play, and I start worrying. I mean, I'm telling you, there's times in my life since I've been here, how am I going to get a place? I told my wife, I said, we better stop, quit looking to buy. We better rent. We better find something. I haven't sold my property. I don't know how this is going to work. And I read this. My joy started leaving. Because I wasn't abiding. I read it, but I wasn't responding to it by depending on it, by trusting it. Listen, it's consistent. It will remain, but it's up to me as a condition. If, it says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain. It's a promise. The other thing is this, that his joy remains, but also his joy prevails over any heartaches because it's based on the power of his resurrection. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for says who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He counted joy for the joy for us. I don't know what kind of burdens you're dealing with in life. Is it heartache, burden to family, financial? But listen, his joy sustains and is always available. Psalms 30 verse 5 says this, for his anger endureth but a moment, his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Think about it. For his anger endureth but for a moment. His anger endureth as soon as his lodging or he sojourned with it like a night only. Then he says his favor is life. That's the parts of his eternal life. He's given us eternal life. But he says joy cometh in the morning. It's like a friendship with God. His sorrow is just but temporary. Isaiah 54 verse 7 says, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. And it seems so long in our life how it seemed like we go through trials. And he says, he didn't say he won't lead us through a valley of shadows. Was it in Psalms? I'll lead through the valley of the shadow of a death. But he will lead us. We will go through it. And it seemed like he may forsake us. But he hasn't forsaken us. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells me, for our light affliction is which but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. That means the trials I go through, it seems that I'm alone. And there, it doesn't work. It's working in me far more than I expect. Listen, everything's of Him and to and through Him are all things. God is working through those things, but my joy is through Him. I know that it doesn't end. I love the book of Job. Look, chapter 3, he was done. He's ready to quit. But Job, have you seen chapter 42? I mean, today is chapter 3. Well, I can't wait to chapter 42, amen? But God is good. It's but for the moment. And we read Job, what did God do? He blessed him. Didn't he? He blessed him. He never puts stuff in there not blessing us. He works in our life to make us better. Oh, the condition for a joy and the consistency for a joy. Look at verse 11c. It says, these things have I spoken to you that your joy might remain. And it goes, and that your joy might be full. The pleasure, the completeness of our joy. He is our completeness of it. Without Him, we wouldn't have joy. Pleasure of abiding in relationship with Christ is unlike any other world can offer to us. That your joy might be full. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, thou will show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Have you ever been full? Have you ever getting your life full? I think of, when I think of this verse, I think of Thanksgiving dinner. I think of my wife makes a big meal and the turkey and the dressing and all the turkey dressing and the devil's eggs and the red stuff she cuts up. I don't know what it is, and the salad, and I don't eat that much, but I eat the other stuff. You know, it's just good, and I eat and eat. I don't know about you. I get so full. Then there's a pecan pie or there's a, you know, other kind of pies, and I eat, you know, and I try not to eat a lot, but it's just so good, and I eat and eat, and it's so full. She goes, you want some more? And I said, no, no. Where's the chair? I got to sit. I'll try to come later. Hey, have you ever gotten around the Word of God? You ever get full? Do you really eat the Word of God? Listen, it's better, it's more than better than substance of food. Listen, he says, look, in thy presence is fullness of joy. When I get in my prayer closet and I think about you and some of you, I know certain things about you and there are things going on. I think of Brother Frank's and small procedure, but you know, I don't know what Brother Frank's thinking about it, but to me, he's my father in the Lord. I mean, I don't know Brother Frank, but I pray for Brother Frank. I pray for Brother Scott and he get right with God and stay. I pray for Brother Danny and the situation in his life and things, and Brother Cox. I don't know the guy, but I get the presence of God. And that's where I like, it's that secret place. It's a fullness of joy. Listen, God says, be all right. I'll take care of you. The burden's not heavy. I'll take care of it. You can bear it. Man up. You'll be all right. You keep going. You go through trials. Don't you worry. Man up. Because my God is a man God. He's tough and He's strong. He's a loving, compassionate. He sits by me and with tears and love. He's a good God. But it's fullness of joy. I get full with Him. Listen, the world is full of cheap thrills. It's like candy bars and chips. You never get full. It never satisfies. Truly, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen, if the branches, we can't bear nothing unless we attach to the vine. The question is, do you have joy? Are you fullness of joy? Are you just empty? Are you really getting the Word of God, or are you in the world and the world pulls your joy? You leave here and say, praise God, but then Monday morning something happens and you lose your joy. Somebody cuts you off. You say, rejoice in the Lord. I broke my truck. I'm tired. You have to preach to these people in church, Carl. They just look at you funny. And I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. But I rejoice. My God is a good God. And I could say, you know what? I'm mad. I'm why? But then I say, you have to take care of me. I'm yours. I'm your boy. Oh, it's a different perspective because I kept in the Word. The question is, are you in the Word? Do you have that joy? Are you struggling? Are you missing something? Listen, it all starts by you responding to the Word of God. You take the Word of God, but you've got to respond it. It's up to you. He said, my joy will remain, but it's up to you to respond to my Word. Let's stand, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Are you abiding His pleasure? It really is a simple sermon, simple message. But truth is, you read that passage, it's full of depth. And the thing is, we all struggle, we all hurt, and circumstances of our life pulls us and attacks us. The world pulls us. It steals and robs it, try to rob our joy, but our joy is not based on the world and friends and people. It's based on the Word of God. Oh, I love my daddy, but I never lost my joy because I had it in Christ. I don't know if God spoke to your heart, dealt with your heart, challenged your heart. But as the music plays, you need to respond and act upon the Word of God.